Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you find at the top of Daf Tes Zayin. Before we learn the Mishnah, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading. We've written Bedalid Prokim four times throughout the year. Ha'olam Nidon, the world undergoes a judgment. Ha'mishnah Mefaretes B'Seder Mosai v'alma nidonim. The Mishnah will itemize in a chronological order when and on what these judgments take place. So before we actually read the Mishnah, you'll notice that we have used some numbering and underlining. Number one, Pesach. Number two, Atzeres. Atzeres is an alternative name for the holiday of Shavuos. And number three, Barosh Hashanah. And number four, Ubechag. Bechag is a reference to Sukkot. So, chronologically, starting with Nisan, the month in which Pesach occurs, Nisan is the first of the months when we list the months in a Jewish calendar year. So, Nisan containing Pesach is the first, followed by Shavuos in the month of Sivan, followed by Rosh Hashanah, which is at the beginning of Tishrei, and finally in this Mishnah, Sukkot, which is in the middle of Tishrei. The Mishnah. Barba Prokim Ho'ilam Nidon. Prokim are different, or time periods. At four different time periods, the world is judged. Pesach ala Tvua. On Pesach, there's a judgment concerning the grains. Atzeres al HaPeros. On Shavuos, that's time of judgment for HaPeros Ha'ilam, for the fruit of fruit trees. On Rosh Hashanah, all mankind passes in front of him. Kivnei Moron. Then, Kivnei Moron is an expression that the Gemara will deal with later. And so what's described here is the entire realm of humanity being judged on Rosh Hashanah. Shnemar, Hayotzer Yachad Libom, Hamevin El Kol Maaseim. This posuk also will be subject of a discussion in the Gemara. Uvechag nidonim al hamayim. And on Sukkot, there is judgment concerning the water, particularly the rain. Will the world be deserving of ample rainfall? The Gemara now turns to the opening example of judgment. Pesach, there's judgment concerning the grains. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Din al HaTvua on Pesach, HaGemara Tazbir al Ezetvua. The Gemara will try to clarify which Tvua is referred to. Sha'osid Lizroa, is it a reference to grains that will be planted? They'll be planted next year. O Shinizra Kvar, or those that were planted already in the winter months preceding Pesach. Mosai Nidon, when is their judgment? The Gemara. Hey Tavua. Which Tavua is judged on Pesach? I Lema Ha Tavua de Kaimo. If it's a reference to the grains that are standing and ready to be harvested, in other words, grains that were planted in the winter months preceding Pesach, a few months before planted, and that's enough time for them to grow and develop, and now we're possibly referring to grains that are mature and ready to be harvested. And the Mishnah is then saying that on Pesach they will be judged. Kol hani harpatki, the adu Allah, some heavy Aramaic words here. Harpatki are events. All the events and happenings in the course of several months, there are storms, there might be insect attack, might be a drought, all kinds of happenings that befell the grains the Odu Allah, that passed over the grains, Emas Iston, when were they judged? So if the Pesach judgment is for grains that have been standing already, so when was the judgment that led up to that governed all the events that happened to the grains up till this point? Ela Tvua Demizdera. So rather, the judgment of Pesach is a judgment for grains that will be planted next year, in the next winter months. Well, we say winter months, technically speaking, it's the autumn season. They'll be planted in the upcoming Cheshvan. So you're talking about a judgment on Pesach. What will be the lot of those grains planted 7 months later? The Gemara asks, Lameimra dechad dina mistina? Are you suggesting, therefore, that there's one judgment? In other words, a judgment that takes place on Pesach regarding the grains that will be planted next Cheshvan. V'hotanya, but we have a Tanaic source that indicates that there are two judgments. The source reads, Tavua she'ira bo keri oines. The expression keri, Rashi says, kagon borod o shidofon, grains that experienced a hail fall, or shidofon, a type of drought, or a crop ailment, or ones, some other type of catastrophe. Koidem HaPesach, if the aforementioned events took place, occurred before Pesach, Nidoinis LeShe'ovar, that's a result of a judgment that took place before they were planted at all, a judgment that took place last year on last year's Pesach. Li'achar HaPesach, if the keri or oinus that we just described befell the grains after this current Pesach, nidoinus l'habo, that's an expression we won't translate, but it means they were judged based on the most recent Pesach, the Pesach that took place after the grains were already planted. We have a bracketed two lines that are part of the source because we want to really de-emphasize what is in the brackets. It talks about the judgment concerning man, but our sugya right now is dealing with grain, so we want to de-emphasize that. With that having been said, let's continue reading. Odom shira bo keri oines, a person that befell him some type of trouble or a setback, Koidem Yom HaKippurim, Nidoin L'Shovar. If it happened before Yom Kippur, so you can rest assured that the setback, the trial or tribulation that the person experienced was a function of a ruling that was established last year's Yom Kippur. La'achar Yom HaKippurim, Nidoin L'Habo. If a person experienced some type of trouble or catastrophe after Yom Kippur, so that's a function of the judgment handed down on the most recent Yom Kippur. So from this source you see that grains are subject to two judgments. Omar Rova, Shma Mino, Tre Dini Misino. From here we see that there are two judgments. One that took place before the grains were planted, and the second, a judgment that took place before they were harvested. Omar Abaye, Hilkoch. Abaye, using this information, says, we can come to a conclusion in the realm of practical behavior. Ki chozi inish dematzlach zaro aflo. If a person sees, he notices, matzlach, there's success regarding zaro aflo. Zaro aflo is a reference to wheat, wheat is something that is planted relatively early and takes a long time for it to mature. It can be planted in the month of Cheshvan, and it doesn't ripen so quickly. So if one sees that the wheat that he's already planted is developing nicely, liktam velizra charfa, he should hasten, liktam, hasten and plant charfa. Charfa technically means the late grain, but it's a reference to saora, to barley, which is planted later than, charfa is grain that ripens quickly, a reference to barley. So if he sees that the wheat, which takes a long time to mature, is growing nicely, so he should hasten and plant the barley now. The ad demoti lemedaine kodim solik. That by the time judgment, the second judgment comes on Pesach, this year's Pesach for the standing grains, so the barley will have already started growing, and once something starts growing, it is even if some, let's say, a negative judgment is handed down, it doesn't go bad so quickly. Very interesting insight over here, that once something is already growing and appears to be growing nicely, so the chances of it getting ruined are less. That less than something that hasn't been planted at all and a negative judgment being handed down. This we can see in the Rashi, Kodim Solik, just a couple lines down from here, the Godel Ktsas, the barley that you would plant before the upcoming Pesach would grow a bit, the Eino Mimayer Shuv Liskalkil, and it then won't go bad so quickly. As you can see, there's a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. And on the side, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written Moni Masnisin. The Gemara opens with the question, who is the author of the Mishnah? Birur Mi Merishimas Tanoim Shemuva Bebraisu. We're going to see a discussion, an analysis based on a list of names of Tanoim that we'll see in a Tanaic source, a Braisa that's brought in the Gemara. So which one of them, Havi Tano de Mishnah Seinu, is the author of our Mishnah, Shekova, that established the Chol Dovar Nidon Bizman Nifrad? According to the Mishnah, it appears that each item has a separate time for its initial judgment. So who of the following Tanoim that we'll see in the Braisa brought in the Gemara would hold like our Mishnah? Now, our Mishnah, there's no Tanaic authority mentioned, so we have to try to establish who is the author. The Gemara opens here with a question. It's a long question. The Gemara says, Moni Masnisin, who is the author of the Mishnah that specifies different times for din. Lo Rebbe Meir, Velo Rebbe Yehuda, Velo Rebbe Yossi, Velo Rebbe Nosson. Four names, and none of them would seem to match what our Mishnah teaches. Desanya, and here we have the source, Hakol Nidoinim Barosh Hashanah. Everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. The Gzar Ugzar Din Shalem Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim Divrei Rebbe Meir. And the final verdict is sealed and signed on Yom Kippur. According to Rebbe Meir, there's no itemizing of things for separate times of judgment. There's one general, one blanket judgment that covers all the details on Rosh Hashanah. Well, that's not like our Mishnah. Rebbe Yehuda Omer HaKol Nidoinim B'Rosh Hashanah. Rebbe Yehuda likewise says everything is judged, the initial judgment of everything is on Rosh Hashanah. However, when it comes to the final verdict, the sealed final verdict, there you find specificity. Ugzar din shelahem, the final ruling. There's initial judgment and there's final ruling of these items. Nechtam kol echod ve'echod bizmano, is signed and sealed, each one in its specific time. The Pesach ala tvua, on Pesach concerning grains, you have the final verdict. Batseres on Shavuos al peiros ha'ilon, on fruit trees. Bechag on Sukkos nidoinin al hamayim. Ve'odom nidon b'Rosh Hashanah. Ugzar din shelo nechtam b'Yom HaKippur. It's an interesting technical note here, is that as opposed to the Mishnah, here there's a deviation from the chronological order, where the three holidays are mentioned first. The three primary holidays, the Shlosh Regolim, are mentioned first, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and then Judgment of Man on Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah does precede Sukkos, as we mentioned in the Mishnah. That's a technical point. Let's continue. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Odom Nidon B'chol Yom, a person is judged every day. Shnemar V'tefkidenu L'Bekorim. Pasuk indicates that a person is judged every morning. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Odom Nidon B'chol Shah, a person is judged every hour. Shnemar L'Rigoim Tivchenenu. Rigoim being parts of a day, fragments of a day. As Rav Nosson says, every hour a person is divchonenu, judged. At this point, then, we saw a Tanaic source, four opinions, none of them corresponding to the Mishnah. You might try to say that, in fact, our Mishnah is in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah that mentions the different times, Agzar din, is reference to the final verdict, verdict, and it's being sealed. Well, and then if you say that that's what our mission is referring to, it's the Gzar din, so then it would sound like it's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. However, ihochi, there still would be a problem. Kashya odom, the Mishnah's dates, if they are Gzar din dates, so then it would come out the Gzar Din of Man is on Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Mishnah said. And Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda, he said that the Gzar Din of a person is on Yom Kippur. So we still don't have an author for our Mishnah. Omar Rava, Rava explains, Hi Tana, Debei Rabbi Yishmael Hi. The Tana responsible for our Mishnah is the Tana that is from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, a Tana from the school of Rabbi Shmuel, teaches the following Tanaic source, which you will see matches our Mishnah. Barbo Prokim Ho'ilom Nidon, four time periods throughout the year there is judgment upon the world. B'Pesach Al HaTvua, B'Atzeres Al Peros Ho'ilon, B'Chag Nidonim Al HaMayim, the Odom Nidoin Barosh Hashanah Ugzar Din Shelo Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim. We saw all of that in our Mishnah. Just maybe one technical point is that in the Mishnah no mention was made of the Gzar Din, but that doesn't pose a problem for us, because this Tanaic source mentions that a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah. V'chi kotoni masnisin, the Mishnah and its four time periods, atchilas din, was referring to the beginning judgment times, just like this Tanaic source reveals. In the case of Adam, we are also told when the gzar din of Adam is, but that wasn't the topic of the Mishnah to begin with. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice some new geometric forms. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, the diamonds that you see here and a couple lines later, the third wide line of Gemara, are Memros Shel Rav Chisda. They're comments made by Rav Chisda. Before we get to the second diamond, you'll notice a volcano shape highlighting the expression the Maitaimo. These are Shlavim, these are stages. These volcano shapes represent stages. We also numbered them 1 and 2. Shlavim, stages, Behesber of Chisda, Es Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Rav Chisda will be giving us a source through which to understand the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who had said above that a person is judged every day. Omar Rav Chisda. As we learn the Gemara, you notice we have a little number one before the question. Mai Taimo de Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chisda opens the discussion at this stage asking what is the source for Rabbi Yossi's point that a person is judged every day. The Gemara reacts, why are you asking that question? Kideko Omar Taime, the source revealed the reason, Vatif Kedenu Labakorim. So there's no reason for asking this question when the source itself revealed the answer. So what was the question? So that's why we have a number two here. Anan hochi kuamrinon. Rav Chisda was saying thusly, Mai taimo lo omar ke Rabbi Nosson. Why did Rabbi Yossi not say like Rabbi Nosson in the source, that a person is judged every hour? You know why he didn't say like Rabbi Nosson? Bechina, in the source, there was a posuk l'rugeim tivchenenu. The word tivchenenu, bechina, it's the same word for our purposes. Bechina, iyuni be'almohi. It means investigation, looking into something. It doesn't mean judgment. Well, by the same token, pekida nami iyuni ba'almohi, Rabbi Yossi himself, then, if his source is l'rigoim, is vatifkidenu labekorim, so that word pekida is also an expression meaning looking into something, analyzing something, but it doesn't mean judgment. Elo Omar Chisda, Taime de Rabbi Yossi Mehocha. The real source for Rabbi Yossi that he is judged every day is from the following. La'asois mishpat avdoi u'mishpat amoi Yisrael devar yoim b'yoimoi. So you see here, judgment, mishpat is judgment, and it says devar yoim b'yoimoi, every day. So that's the basis of Rav Chisda, of Rabbi Yossi. V'yomer Rav Chisda, another statement of Rav Chisda, and you'll see it's directly related to what we just said, based on the posuk that was just quoted, Melech v'tzibor. This, by the way, was a memra that we saw earlier in the Masichta, earlier here in Rosh Hashanah, that when you have a king and the congregation, the community, Melech nichnas t'chila l'din, a king is judged first. Shenemar, the posuk says in Melochim, Perek Aleph posuk, Melochim Aleph, Perek Ches, the posuk we just quoted, La'asois mishpat avdoi. The posuk, the word avdo, technically is his servant, but it's a reference, in this posuk is referring to the king, to King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech. The king is judged first, v'hodar, and then it says, u'mishpat amoy Yisrael. And the continuation of the posuk, then reference is made to the entire rest of the congregation, the people of Israel. My time, what is the reason for this order? Number one, Iboy Esema, some you can say Lav Urach Aro Lamesav Malkivroi. It's not proper etiquette, Urach Aro, Derech Eretz, Lamesav, to sit, for a king to sit Avroi outside. In other words, if you'll say the congregation is judged first, so in the meantime, what's the king doing? He's waiting, and that's not proper to keep the king waiting. Iboy Esema, another approach, Mekami the Leifush Charoin Af. The king deserves a certain advantage, and that is before there is leifush, increase charonaf of wrath. In other words, if the Kodesh Baruch Hu is judging and he sees the sins of the nation one after the other accumulating, what is going to be the Kodesh Baruch Hu's attitude toward the king when he finally reaches judgment? So in human terms, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will be totally irate, giving the king a great disadvantage. So in order to give the king his proper due, have him judged first before the accumulation of sins on the part of the public. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Keman Matzlinon Ho'idno Aktsiri V'Amri'i. Based on whom do we pray every day for the Ktsiri, for the infirmed, and Ri, for the Talmidei Chachomim? Come on, Rabbi Yossi. The idea of praying every day would indicate that there's value in daily prayer, because in fact there's judgment every day. If you didn't accept Rabbi Yossi, then judgment took place for man once a year. And once the verdict is in, of what value would there be to pray? So therefore, the daily prayer is based on Rabbi Yossi's approach to judgment. The boy is same ol yolam rabbanon. Another approach suggests that which we pray every day for the sick and for Talmidei Chachamim, certainly if you look at the text of the Shmona Esrei, you can see we have a bracha rifo'enu, and we have a bracha with al hatzadikim, bracha that is for the welfare of the sages. This idea of daily prayer can be, in fact, something the Rabbanan could accept as well. Ulcher Reb Yitzchok, provided we accept Reb Yitzchok's teaching, the Omer Reb Yitzchok, Yofe Tz'oka L'Odom, Yofe means there is benefit in screams, in beseeching in a heartfelt fashion, benefit for a person, Bein Kodem Gzardin, Bein La'achar Gzardin. Whether it's before the verdict is in or even after the verdict is in, there is power to heartfelt prayer. Tz'oka, literally screams, shouts in prayer that can overturn verdicts that have been handed in. As you can see, we have a slash mark here indicating a new trend of thought, and we say new, but it goes back to the Mishnah at the beginning of this Omid. And on the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh. We have a topic heading with a structural note. If you scan ahead, you'll notice a plethora of markings. So what do they all mean? The double underline, you will see highlights an introductory, a repeated introductory expression, Mipnei Ma Omro Torah. Why did the Torah say? And then you'll see a dashed underline, pu'ulois shoynes, different actions, kedei l'or rachmei shamayim, likras hadin al dvorim shonim, kol echod bizmano. These are different actions that we do. L'or rachmei shamayim is to arouse heavenly mercy in anticipation of the judgment on different things at different times. And the crown shape that you see are zmanim moadim hashonim. So if we want to use our markings by way of further introduction, skim ahead in the Tanaic source that you see featured in the Gemara, and you see with the crown, you see Pesach, and then Atzeres, and then Chag, and Rosh Hashanah. This Tanaic source, as you can see, goes to four lines from the bottom. Now, the source, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda, quoting Rabbi Yehuda Akiva, says, Mipnei ma omro Torah, why did the Torah say, Heviu Omer b'Pesach, to bring the Omer offering? The Omer is a measure, a specific measure of barley flour that is offered on the second day of Pesach, on Tezai and Nisan. Why? What is the significance of this offering? Mipnei sha Pesach zman tvuahu. Pesach is the time that the grains are complete, are ripe. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Almighty says, Haviu lefonai omer bePesach. Bring for me in the Beis Hamikdash the Omer meal offering on Pesach, kedei shetizborech lochem tvuah shebesodah, so that there shall be bracha. Bracha is a term meaning increase or plenty from the grains in the fields. Umibnei ma omro Torah haviu shtei halechem batzeres. What's the significance of bringing the shtei halechem offering? This is two loaves that were made of wheat on Shavuos. They were brought in the Beis Hamikdash together with the kivsei atzeres, two sheep that were offered as a public korban shlomim. What is the significance of these loaves? Mipnei shatzeres zman peros ilon hu. Shavuos is the time of the fruit trees. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu lefonai shtei halechem. Bring for me this offering of shtei halechem batzeres on the holiday of Shavuos. Atzeres is another name for Shavuos. Kedei sheyizboruch hu lochem peros ilon, so that this will serve as a blessing for the fruits of the tree, of the growing on the trees. There's a point made in Rashi, an interesting point. You might be asking, the shtei alechem, it's made from grains. What's the connection between the grains, wheat grains, which are the ingredient for the shtei alechem, and the fruit growing on trees? So Rashi quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, where there's a debate as to what was the eitz. Eitz is another word for tree. The eitz from which Adam ate, famous episode, the sin of Adam eating from the forbidden fruits. Well, one of the opinions there was that he ate chita. Chita, we often translate as wheat grain, but you can see that the chita is also referred to as an eitz, as a, using that term, so that wheat then would fall under the general category of fruits of trees, because it's also categorized as an eitz. Let's continue in the Gemara. Umipnei ma omra Torah nischu mayim b'chag. Why does the Torah command that there be a water libation on the temple altar on the holiday of Sukkot? We call nischu hamayim. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nischu lefonai mayim b'chag, pour in my presence water on the holiday of Sukkot, kidei shizborchu lochem gishmei shana, so that the rains of this year shall be blessed. You shall be, they shall be in plenty and beneficial for you. Of course, Sukkot is the time that we start praying for rain. V'imru lefonai v'Rosh Hashanah, and pray on Rosh Hashanah. Malchiyah, Zichronos, Veshofros, these are three sections in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah Shmona Esrei, the Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. They're called Malchiyos, where a series of psukim highlighting the Almighty's kingdom, Zichronos, remembrances, and Shofros, psukim referring to Shofar, are found. Why? Not so much why, but that is what we are commanded to do. Malchios kidei shetamlichuni aleichem. Through the recitation of Malchios, we are in effect coronating the Almighty to be our ruler. Zichronos kidei shiale zichroinechem lefonai letoiva. Through the zichronos, we arouse our positive memory in for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what's the vehicle through which all of this is accomplished? Bashofar, through the blowing of the shofar. If it's of any consequence, the shofar blowing takes place in the as part of the Shmon Esrei, either as part of the silent Shmon Esrei in certain communities or as part of the repeat of the Shmon Esrei in other communities. But the shofar is used, is blown, is sounded together with the recitation of these psukim in the Shmona Esrei. Omar Rabbi Avo, Loma Toikin B'Shofar Shel Ayal. Why is a ram's horn used? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiku Lefonai B'Shofar Shel Ayal, blow with a ram's horn, Kedei She'ezkor Lochem HaKedis Yitzchok Ben Avram, so that will recount for me the offering of Yitzchok by Avram, umale ani alechem, and then I will consider it ki'ilu akadetem atzmechem lefonai. As everyone probably recalls from the story involving the Akedas Yitzchok, when Avram was restrained from actually slaughtering his son, he offered an ayol, a ram, in his stead. And hence the ram's horn is associated with this, and by our blowing the ram's horn, it's then considered as if we offered ourselves to the Kodesh Baruch, the ultimate offering. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Loma, and we skip the brackets, was once again we have a case that of the text in the brackets is not the final text. So just to keep the reading smooth, let's skip it initially. Rabbi Yitzchok says, Loma toikin umriyim kishen yoshvin. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. V'toiken riyun kishen oivdin. And we'll go over that in a moment. First, we go through the bracketed section, where Reb Yitzchok says, and we should have pointed out, but you see a house shape around Reb Yitzchok, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, we note these are Meimros Shur Reb Yitzchok. There's actually quite an extensive list of Reb Yitzchok teachings, Rubam B'inyan Din, Al Ha'odah. Most of them have some association with man's being judged. The Oid Meimros Hakshuas the Regel. There'll be a couple other comments of his that are holiday related. It involved Kabbalos Panei Rabo, greeting one's Torah teacher on the holiday, and Tarol of Neknisas Aregel, and the need to purify oneself before a holiday sets in. Purify in terms of a mikveh immersion. The Gemara. In the middle of the second to last line, Omar Reb Yitzchok, Lama Toikin Barosh Hashanah. The Gemara asks, what kind of question is that? Loma toikin rachmona omar tiku. The Torah says, trumpet the shofar. Elo loma marian. Why do we blow a trua sound on Rosh Hashanah? The trua sound is a staccato sound that we make when blowing the shofar. Why do we do that? The Gemara asks, marian rachmona mar zichron trua. The Torah says, regarding Rosh Hashanah, zichron trua, that there is a trua sound that is made. Elo loma. What the real question that Reb Yitzchok is raising is loma toikin mriim kshein yoshvin. This is a reference to the shofar blowing that we do, well, literally while we're still seated, even though the common practice is people are standing, but it's a reference to the shofar blowing that's done before the actual Shmona Esrei. And the Gemara continues, as we said, at the top of Omid Beis, v'toikin mriim kshein omdim. And we then blow again a series of shofar blowings as part of the Shmon Esrei. Omdin means while they're standing. Standing is, means a reference to Shmon Esrei. If all that you need to blow is a say a finite number of sounds, why the we'll call it the double set of blowing? Answer: Kedei la'arbev hasotan, so as to confound the Satan. The Satan is that, we'll call it angel, or that force that prosecutes the Jewish people. However, and Rashi explains, when the Satan hears that the Jews are endearing themselves to the mitzvahs, they're blowing not just what their basic requirement is, but they're blowing an additional set because of their affection for the mitzvahs, so then what is left for him to say in prosecuting the Jewish people? After all, look how diligent they are in mitzvah performance, that they do even more than they are required to do. We're not going to get into an interesting question, though, that Tosfos raises here, but you can, for those who are interested in further research, there is a problem known as Baal Tosif, that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu in his Torah tells you to do a mitzvah in it, and he has certain guidelines and amounts and quantities that are associated with the mitzvah, and you do more than you're supposed to do, that is a problem, generally speaking, of Baal Tosif. Do not add. Do not add, and there's another pasuk, do not detract from that which you are commanded. So Tosfos deals with that issue, and he gives an answer that this is not a problem of Baal Tosif. Nevertheless, we see that by doing the double set of blowings, we're demonstrating our chibuv ha-mitzvahs, our love of the mitzvahs, and that silences the Satan from his prosecution. V'yomer Reb Yitzchok, kol hashana, kol shana, she'ein toikin la b'tchilasa, mari'in la b'sof. Here there's a play on words, mari'in. We till now meant had to do with the trua sound, but here Marian means from the word ra, something that's negative, bad. Any year that there isn't the shofar blowing at the beginning, so bad is destined to befall. Basofa means at the end of the year, or as the year progresses. My time, oh, why is that? The low Arbiv Sultan, because the Sultan wasn't confounded, he wasn't silenced. My understanding of this Gemara, if we connect this to the Maimra just before at the top line, when here Rabbi Yitzchok says any year that there was no shofar blowing at the beginning, I don't believe it means the basic shofar blowing, but I think he's referring to the double shofar blowing. Any year that there isn't the double shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year, which is Rosh Hashanah, so then there will be bad that befalls the people toward the end of the year, as the year progresses. And why is that? Because the Irbuf Satan didn't take place. And how did we explain before the Irbuf Satan? From the double set of blowing. Therefore, that leads me to believe that Rabbi Yitzchok here, when he says that there's any year that there's no shofar blowing at the beginning, it doesn't mean the basic shofar blowing, but it means that double set of shofar blowing. If that's not done, so then evil lurks in the future. The Omer of Yitzchok, Kol Shana She Rasha Betchilasa. The word also, the word Rosh has to do with impoverished. There's a type of play on words here. Rosh is the beginning of the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh, as spelled here with the Resh Shin, is the root of this word, meaning when there is any year that there is Rosh, there is impoverishment, meaning there is prayer and supplication, like the way of a poor man who is pleading for a share. So any year that there is pleading, Rosha Betchilasa, the beginning of the year, there is prayer and supplication, Misasheres Besofa. And here again, you have noticed the word interplay. Impoverishment at the beginning, Misasheres means there's wealth at the end. So that a year that's characterized by prayer and supplication at the beginning will be a means of achieving wealth and plenty as the year progresses. Shenemar, Meireshis Hashana. The Pasuk says, Meireshis Hashana Ve'ad Achris Shana. And the word Meireshis in the Torah literally means from the beginning. However, Meireshis Ksiv. The way it's written, when you open up a Torah scroll and you see the word Meireshis, you might read it like that, but it's written without an aleph in it. If you take the aleph out of the word, it's no longer Rosh, meaning beginning, but it's Rosh, meaning impoverished, or as we said before, the supplication and prayer that is characteristic of a poor man. So that's the pasuk then reads Meireshis Hashana, so to speak. Even that's not the way we actually read it, but the letters would indicate that. V'ad Achris, which is the continuation of the Pasuk, Soifa Shiesh Lo Achris. It's an end that has a future to it, meaning positive end. V'omar Reb Yitzchok, Ein Donin Es Ha'odom Ela Lefi Maisav Shel Oysa Shah. A person is not judged other than based on his behavior, that he has behaved up till now, to the exclusion of what he will be in the future. So that a person is judged, and if he isn't so, if he's all right now, even though he's a person that in the future will become evil, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is understood, we understand he knows the future, that nevertheless does not play a role in how a person is judged. Shenemar, the Pasuk says regarding Yishmael. Now Yishmael, his descendants, that which came forth from Yishmael were evil, and they persecuted the Jewish people. That, however, did not prevent the Almighty from providing salvation for Yishmael when he was a youth and he needed help. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ki shama elokim el kol hanar, Basher Husham. The Almighty heard the sounds, the cries of the youth, a reference to Shmuel, when he was sent away from Avram, and he was parched with thirst, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu heeded his cries. Basher Husham means as he was there and then, discounting the fact that in the future he would be a major oppressor of the Jewish people. That does not play a role in the way the Almighty judges. The Amar Reb Yitzchok, Shloisha Dvarim Maskirin Avinosev Shel Adam. There are three things, and the Gemara will enumerate them, that arouse a man's sins. In other words, a person is scrutinized in the following circumstances. Eluhen kir notui v'iun tfilo u'moyser din al chavero. Kir notui is literally a tilting or slanting wall. Would one want to walk under a wall whose foundation is very weak and is at a slant? So if a person decides to walk under such a wall, in the proximity of such a wall, so the heavenly court judges this person, analyzes his behavior. Is he worth being saved from the kir notui? So if a person wants to avoid being scrutinized, so it's advisable for him not to enter situations of danger that require, we'll say, extra heavenly assistance, and in order to achieve that, the person's behavior has to be scrutinized. Ve'iyun tfila, Rashi describes this as someone who prays with great concentration and is and feels secure that his prayer will be answered. So when a person is praying like that, so the heavenly court once again says, is this person really worthy of having his prayer answered? And that arouses what we call maskirin avinoisef shalom. He's then scrutinized. There is much more to say on this topic of iyun tefila. Tosfos here elaborates on that. But for our purposes, let's go on into Gemara. Umoiser din al chavero. And this last point is explained by the Gemara itself as the Gemara goes on. This is point number three. The Omar Rabbi Chanan kol moiser din al chavero, a person who pleads with the Almighty to, let us say, to punish someone else who they feel has wronged them, who ne'enash tchila, he's subjecting himself to being punished first. In other words, if we were to put it on a very simplistic level, you want me to punish him, let's see how you check out first. And then if it turns out that the individual has a lot of sins, so he's going to be punished first before the other party gets the punishment. Shinemar, and this is illustrated by sources. It says regarding Hagar, when she was pregnant, Hagar was Sora Imenu's bondmaid that she gave to her husband Avram to have a child through her. So when Hagar became pregnant, she started to belittle Sora. The pasuk says, "Vatomer Sarai al Avram." So Sarai, before her name was changed to Sora, she says to Avram, before his name was changed to Avraham, adding a hey. So she says, Sora says to Avram, "Chamosi alecha, I'm enraged." In other words, she saw a situation where Hagar, having become pregnant, and Sora was incapable of pregnancy, Hagar, in her state of pregnancy, was belittling Sora, and Sora apparently felt that Avram wasn't defending her, and this aroused the ire of Sora. So she says, "I'm angry with you," and that is what the Gemara takes to mean Moisir din al-chavero. She's angry, and she wants the Kodesh Baruch Hu to intervene. Uksiv, and later in time, it just turns out by Yovu Avram lispoid l'Sora v'livkoisa. She, Sora, ended dying before Avram. So that she was guilty, so to speak, of being Moisir din al chavero, and she ended up paying the price first. The Omar Reb Yitzchok. Here we have another statement of Yitzchok, but this lasts a number of lines, so we used a long point marking. He says, Arba dvarim mekarin gzar dinoi shel adam. There are four things that can undo a verdict, a guilty verdict passed against man. Eluhain, what are the four things? Tzedaka, charity. Tzaaka, in fervent, intense, heartfelt prayer. Shinui Hashem, changing one's name. b'shinui maiseh, one's doing penitence, one doing tshuva. Stoka dichtiv, the pasuk says, Stoka tatzel mimovis. Charity can save one who was given a verdict of death. In fact, there's a very telling sugi in Maseches Ksubis that shares a couple stories that illustrate this point. Tzaka, number two, Dichtiv, Vayitzaku el Hashem Batzarlem, Umimitzukaisem, Yotziem. The pasuk describes the seafarers that screamed out to the Almighty in their, they were in great trouble, and the Almighty redeemed them, took them out of their trust, saved them from danger. We see Vayitzaku, the Tzaka is effective. Shinui Hashem, Dichtiv, Sarai Ishtecha, Lo Tikra Shema Sarai, Ki Sarai Shema. Sarai, the wife of Avram, was barren. Her name was to be changed. She was no longer to be called Sarai, but rather Sarah. Uksiv, and following that, it says, Ule Besof, it says, Uveirachti Oisa Vegam Nosati Mimeno Lecha Bein. I blessed her, and I will provide through her a son to you, which we of course know as Yitzchak. But you see, what do we see here? That through the change in name, her gezar din ruled upon to be barren, that changed. Shinui Maisa, through a person's change in behavior, we also can undo a negative gzar din. Dichtiv, the pasuk says in the book of Yonah, where the city of Nineveh was to be overturned, as the pasuk indicates, and the prophet Yonah informed them of that, and they did tshuva. They changed their ways. The pasuk says, "Vayaru l'kim es ma'aseihem." And the Almighty beheld their changed ways. Uksiv vayinochem elukim al ra asher diber lasois lahem. And the Almighty changed his mind, so to speak, from bringing the evil upon them that had been planned. So the pasuk says asher diber lasois lahem velo asa, the evil that he planned to bring upon them but did not actually bring upon them. So this is the end of Rabbi Yitzchok's point concerning four things that are Makarin Gzar Dino Shalom, that have the capability of changing a verdict passed against man. The Yeshomer, as we go on in the more, we have another opinion that adds, Af Shinui Mokoyim, one who changes his location, he moves to a new place. Dichtiv Vayomer Hashem El Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Avram was commanded by the Almighty to leave where he had been, the land he had been in Haran, Vahadar, and then when he leaves the land and he reaches Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vahadar then, Ve'escha, L'goy, Godo, I will make you then into a great nation. Apparently, by remaining in Haran, so he would not have become a great nation. Ve'idach, Rabbi Yitzchak, why doesn't he mention Shinui Makom? After all, is that not what you see by Avram? So he says, Hahu zechusa de'eretz Yisrael hu da'hanyalei. That wasn't because he simply changed his location, but that's because of the merit of the land of Israel. It's not so much his leaving place A, but it's where he was destined to be. That was where he was sent to. In this case, specifically, it was because he was sent to Eretz Yisrael. That's what gave him the merit of becoming the great nation. Now, this concept of Zechusa Deretz Yisrael is something that we find in other places as well. One prominent citation is a Gemara in Erechin, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, where the Gemara points out that had Yehoshua prayed Yehoshua having entered Eretz Yisrael, his prayers would have been answered more so than had Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, had prayed, because Yehoshua had what's called the zchus of Eretz Yisrael, something that everyone should think about and take very strongly to heart, this unique power known as zchus of Eretz Yisrael, and how strong it is, even and especially in light of the Gemara we just cited from Maseches Erechin, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Chayev Odom Lahakbil Pnei Raboi Beregel. Here we go to another area of Rabbi Yitzchak comments. As we said in our introduction, we deal with more holiday-related comments. A person is obligated to greet his teacher on the holiday, his Torah teacher. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Madua at holeches elov hayom, lo chodesh velo Shabbos. Why are you going to the prophet today? It wasn't Rosh Chodesh, it wasn't Shabbos. Michlal, we can infer from this that bechodesh v'Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh or on Shabbos or on a holiday, iboya lo lemeisel, then it is the time to go and greet one's rav, one's rabbi. V'omar Rabbi Yitzchak, chayev odom letayer es atzmo beregel. A person is obligated to purify himself before a holiday. Shenemar uvenivlosam lo sigol. Pasuk says, They're warned not to have contact with animal corpses. The Rashi points out that this pasuk is in the context of holidays. Tanya Nami Hochi, and a Tanaic source that supports this, Uvenivlosam lo sigo, the Torah's warning, do not touch the animal corpses. These are animals that are nevelous. They were not shechted, and hence there's something called tumas nevela. So do not become tome. Yochol you Yisrael mushor and almag nevela. Could it be that rank and file Jewish people are warned against contact with animal corpses? Talmud lomar emor el hakoyhanim b'nei Aaron. This is a pasuk in the context of the Kohanim, and what we call Tumas Meis, defilement to the dead, to dead people. And the Pasuk addresses the Kohanim, B'nei Aaron Muzhorin, B'nei Yisrael Ein Muzhorin. As far as being warned against defilement, and specifically defilement to the dead, that concerns Kohanim alone. It doesn't concern the rest of the Jewish people. V'haloi Dvorim Kal V'chomer. And with this in mind, we would now employ Kal V'chomer reasoning. Uma tumo chamura kehanim muzharim Yisrael ainon muzharin. Mind you, tumo chamura, severe tumo, which is associated with corpse defilement, a human corpse defilement. Kehanim alone are warned against that. Yisraelim, rank and file Jews, are not warned against that. There's no problem for a non-Kohen to become defiled to the dead. Tuma kala, like animal corpses, lo kol shekein, all the more so, rank and file Jews are not commanded against becoming tomei. So what does the pasuk mean when it says ubinivlosam lo sigo, do not touch the dead animals? Elo ma talmud lo imar ubinivlosam lo sigo. What does that mean? Answer, boregel. During the holidays, during the holiday time, especially in the Beis Hamikdash, that was a time people, they ascended upon Jerusalem, they were offering sacrifices, and when one is dealing with sacrifices, one has to be very careful not to become Tomei. So there was the Torah is warning against being Tomei during the holiday, the time at which one is exposed to sacrifices, and also Meiser Sheni was something that people would eat during the holidays, and also there one was supposed to avoid Tumah. As you can see, there's a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a topic heading, Shloishes Sforim Niftochim Rosh Hashanah. Literally, three books are opened on Rosh Hashanah. This is a rather well-known idea. Many of you are probably familiar with this, and here's the opportunity to see it at its source. Amar Rav Kuspidoi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shloishes Sforim Niftochim Rosh Hashanah. There are three Rashi calls them Sifrei Zichroin Shel Maisa Brios, books that recount the behavior of people. So there are three of these record books that are open. Echad Shel Rishoyim Gemurim, Ve'echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim. One is a record of the wicked, the totally wicked. Another is the records of the totally pious, the Echod Shel Beinonim, and one of the average. Beinonim means middle type people. Middle, for our purposes right now, would mean a person who has an equal amount of sins and merits. Tzadikim Gemurim Nichtovim V'Nechtomim La'alter L'Chaim. Totally righteous are written and sealed in the, we'll call the Book of Life. Lauter means immediately for life. For life meaning to live through this year. Rishoyim Gemurim, Nichtovim V'Nechtomim La'alter L'Misa. And the totally wicked, those are people whose majority of behavior is one of sin. So they are written and signed immediately to experience death during the course of that year. Beinonim tliim v'omim Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom HaKippurim, those that are middle of the road, so they remain suspended. That no verdict is signed immediately, but they are in suspense until Yom Kippur, means between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They are in suspense. Zachu, if they merit having done what needs to be done, let's say adding to the mitzvah side of the balance scale, nichtovim l'chayim. So then they'll be written for life, to experience life. Lo zachu, if they were unsuccessful in adding more to the mitzvah side, nichtovim l'misa. Then they'll be written over to be to die in the course of the year. Omar Rabbi Ovin, my craw, what pasuk indicates this idea of books that are open with the righteous and the wicked? So the pasuk says, Imochu misefer chayim v'im tzadikim al yikosvu. They shall be erased from the book of the living and not be written together with the righteous. So the Gemara now breaks the pasuk down. Imochu misefer ze sifron shel rishoyim. Shel rishoyim gemurim. The pasuk said imochu misefer. Then it says chayim. In the same pasuk, we saw that word ze sifron shel tzadikim. The pasuk also said v'im tzadikim al yikosvu ze sifron shel beinonim. So in this pasuk, we see a reference to the three books that the Gemara of Kuspidoi and Rabbi Yochanan made mention of. Rav Nachum ben Yitzchok Omer Mehocha. He gives you an alternative pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'im oyin mocheni no misifrecha asher kosafta." And we again break down this pasuk: "Mocheni no ze sifron shel rishoyim, misifrecha ze sifron shel tzadikim." And the phrase "asher kosafta ze sifron shel beinonim." Tanya. At this point, we start a source, and it seems it's a very long Tanaic source. You'll see it goes down Yud Zayin Omid Aleph, almost halfway down the Omid. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Ha-Gemara mevi'o b'raisa, sheyesh bo ti'ur hadin shel kama kvutzos. The Gemara brings a Tanaic source that has a description of judgment that applies to a number of different groups. And we've listed the different groups that will be featured in the Braisa. We provided a list ahead of time. You can see it's a rather long list. It includes Tzadikim Gemurim, Rishayim Gemurim, Beinoniim, those we've described already. Poshei Yisrael Begufan. This is a term that the Gemara will ask, what does that mean? Sinners of Israel in their bodies. And then Poshei Umos Ha'olam Begufan. Gentile sinners in their bodies. There's another group that are linked together in the source. Minim, Mesuros, Apikursim. Minim and Apikursim, these are people that are, generally speaking, are considered non-believers. They're scoffers at the halacha. Mesuros are people that hand over not only Jews, but they hand over even property of, they could be of their fellow Jew, to the government. So they're featured in this source. And these people, shekofru b'Torah, they are Torah deniers. They deny the divineness of the Torah. V'shekofru b'tchiyas ha'mesim, or they are deniers of the resurrection of the dead. There are people, shenosnu chitisim, Beretz Chaim. We'll see what that is later in the Gemara. And there are those that are shechotu v'chtiu rabim, people that not only do they sin, but they cause others to sin. So we're going to start this Braisa, and we see that how it does continue down Yud Zayin Aleph. But we should tell you ahead of time that these are very broad topics, and there's a lot of literature on these topics that if one's curiosity is aroused, so we recommend looking further into these matters. But as is the nature of Gemara, the Gemara basically serves as a provider of headlines. The depth that is found beneath the surface, though, is found in many other works. So we start the Braisa. Tanya, Beishamay Omrim, Shloisho Kitois Hein Liyoyim Adin. There are three groups, Liyom Adin. And Rashi has a fascinating comment on this, Liyom Adin, Kishi Yichyu HaMesim. Here we're not talking about a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur experience, but we're talking about a time in the future when the dead are brought back to life. And what you find here is something very interesting, that when the dead are brought back to life, all kinds are brought back to life. Even what are called the Rishayim Gemurim, the totally evil, are brought back to life. And at that point, there's going to be, we'll say, what's called, we would call another judgment. Tosfos at the bottom alludes to this issue. Tosfos says there, Liyom Adin, Kishiyichu Amesim, Kedemuchach Kra, the pasuk will be cited to show that there will be judgment, a new judgment at the time of the resurrection. Kedemuchach Kra, the pasuk says, Aviafal Pishikvarni Donu Achar Misoson Began Eden O Begehenim, Vipnei HaNefesh, even though there was already judgment. When a person dies, the spirit of a person is subjected to judgment, deciding, does he go to the Gan Eden, paradise, or does he go to, does his spirit go to purgatory? Adayin yadin achir, im yizakeu l'chayu olam habo, shukayim l'olam. There's another judgment, though, Tosfos says, regarding those who might merit the future world, which will last forever. There are those that already were punished in purgatory, and because of their already experiencing punishment in purgatory and Gehenna after their death, upon resurrection, there's a chance that they will have been sufficiently cleansed by their purgatory experience that they'll be meritorious of permanent existence afterwards. We basically translated that we must issue from time to time disclaimer. These are exceptionally deep topics, possibly relegated to the realm of the mystical. We don't really know the depth of these matters, but something is being presented here, and we're getting a taste of it. So we continue in the Gemara. We mentioned that there will be three groups at this Yom Hadin, and as Rashi says, Kishiyifnu HaMesim. And who are in the three groups? Achas Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, one of the totally righteous, V'achas Shel Rishoyim Gemurim, another group of those who were considered totally wicked, V'achas Shel Beinonim, and those of middle ground. Tzadikim Gemurim, Nechtovim V'nechtom La'atur L'chaye Oilom. Those that are found to be totally righteous are written and signed for permanent life. Rishoyim Gemurim Nechtovim V'nechtomim La'alter L'Gehenim. Those that are totally wicked are written and signed immediately to go back to purgatory. Shinemar, the Pasuk indicates that which we just said. Pasuk in Daniel, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. Rabim Yishene Admas Ofer Yokitsu, and many from those that were sleeping in the dirt, meaning those that were buried and now resurrected, well, Yokitsu means will be resurrected, will come back to life, and at that point they'll come back, Eilu L'chai Olam Ve'Eilu L'charofos L'diron Olam. Some will come back for permanent life, and some assigned to everlasting abhorrence. Beinonim. Now, here we want to emphasize this is what we call Shitas Beishamai. There is an approach that appears later in this source, Beis Hillel's approach to the Beinonim, which we'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, Beinonim, Yordim Legehenim. We continue at the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Umetzafzefin V'Oilin. Rashi at the top line says, "Umitzafzefin tzoyakim uboichin mitoch yisurim shoachas v'oilim." These beinonim are exposed to purgatory. Their screams and cries because of the pain and suffering for a moment, shoachas for an hour, for a moment, and then they rise up. Shenemar vehevesi es hashlishis. Bo'esh utzraftim kitzreif es hakesef uvechantim kivchoin es azov. And the third group, this conforms to our three groups that we mentioned. The third group, the Beinonim in this case, will be purged of whatever dross there may be in them, like one does with the preparation of silver and gold. Hu yikra b'shmi v'ani ene oisoi. He will call out in my name, and I will answer him. A reference likely to their crying out in their momentary stay in purgatory, and they will then be saved from there. Ve'aleihem omro Chano, and regarding them, Chano, who was the mother of the prophet Shmuel, she herself classified as a prophetess, she says, Hashem meimis u'mechaye morid sh'ol v'yal. The Almighty puts to death, he brings back to life, descends into Sheol, into the depths, and brings up. Beis Hillel Omrim. Now Beis Hillel addresses the issue of the Beinonim, and he says, V'rav chesed mate klapi chesed. This will also be the subject of a thorough discussion later on the Omid. But in the meantime, Rashi at the top says, mate klapi chesed, since you're dealing with the Beinonim that are half merits and half sin, mata es ha'achrea litzad schus v'ein yordin legenim. There's a tilting of the balance scale in favor of merit, and that spares them from that momentary visit to purgatory. So it seems that here you have the point of difference between the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says that the Beinonim are subjected to Gehenim, albeit momentarily, Whereas Beis Hillel says, not even that. Because of this divine intervention of the balanced scale being tipped by the Almighty in his boundless mercy in favor of the side of merit. The Gemara continues, Va'alehem Omar David, regarding them, David says in Tehillim, which is, we are familiar with these psukim maybe from the Hallel, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es koili. V'alehem, that means, I love the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because he hears my voice. V'alehem Omar David, kol ha-parsha kula, Daloisi Vali Yoshia. That paragraph of the Tehillim, Perek Kuf Tezayin, is with regard to this topic. Now, the Tosfos at the top, he elaborates a bit. Let's look at the Tosfos at the top. V'aleim Omar David Ohavti, Dichtiv Bey, regarding, or it says, in that paragraph it says, Afofuni Chevle Moves, that I was enveloped by the ropes of death. Uksiv dalosi v'li Yehoshia, which means kishu dal b'mitzvus, when he's lacking in mitzvus, rav chesed mate u'moshia, the Almighty who is full of kindness, he tips in favor of the merit and saves me. Kedashin l'kamon, as the Gemara will elaborate later. Inami miloshon, another take on this dalosi v'Yehoshia, isn't a lotion of poorness, but a second pshat is miloshon dalo dalo lanu. It has to do with drawing water up, drawing something up. Shemalehu mibor amok, that raises him from a deep pit. Uksiv basrei, and it says after that, shuvi nafshi lumenu choichi v'chule. My spirit returns to a state of peace. V'hodar, and then it says eshalech ba'atzas achayim, and then I'll be able to walk in the land of the living. So that the whole paragraph deals with this situation of the divine intervention in saving the Beinonim. The source goes on, poshe Yisrael begufon, it has to be explained later, u'poshe umos ha'olam begufon, yordim legehenim. These two categories of wicked ones descend into purgatory, the nidonim ba yudbeis chodesh. They experience judgment in purgatory for 12 months, lachar yudbeis chodesh, and after that time, gufon kolav and ishmosen nisrefes. These are very deep ideas, but we'll translate, and we can't do any more than that. And it says their bodies cease to be, they disintegrate, and their nishmosim, their souls, are burnt. Veruach mefazroson v'nasim efer tachas kapois raglei tzadikim, and a wind then scatters their ash, and it serves, it's been placed underfoot of the righteous. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'asoisem rishoyim ki yu efer tachas kapois raglechem. The word v'asosem has to do with something that's crushed and downtrodden. So the pasuk is describing the wicked are to be crushed and downtrodden, turn into ash under the feet of the righteous. Avol haminim v'amesuros v'apikursim. These characters, Rashi says, Haminim ho anashim asher hofchu divrei elikim chayim l'ra, kegoin sidukim ubaitusim. Those that perverted the Torah of the living God to negative, like was the practice of the tzedukim and the baitusim. These are groups of people that were famous for their denial of the oral tradition. So that's what he calls here the minim. And it might be pointed out, and this is something that scholars might research, that the term minim could be a reference to breakaway groups from the original Jewish tradition. The Mesuros, for Mosur, are people that are Malshinim. These are people that Rashi says Moishin Mamon Yisrael Biyado Evichov, and they give over. They're tattlers. They will reveal property owned by Jews and give have it given over, have it taken over by the idolaters, by the idolatrous governments. Bapi Kursim, Rashi says, Mevaze Talmidei Chacham, and those who scorn, belittle the Torah scholars. Shekofru Batorah, Rashi says on this, Ha'oimrim Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, people that deny the divine nature of the Torah. V'shekofru B'tchias HaMesim, people that deny resurrection. The next three words, according to Rashi, don't belong here. Rashi gives he quotes another source where they appear, and you can look for further information into the Rashi itself. V'shenosnu chitisam beretz chayim. There are those that are guilty of this. This will be explained later. V'shechotu v'shechtiu esarabim. Those that sin and cause others to sin. Kagon Yerovam ben Nevat v'chaverov. Like Yerovam ben Nevat, who was the first king after the Jewish monarchy split in the time of Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. Yerovam took over the northern kingdom, and he was guilty of not only sinning, but causing others to sin. And his v'chaverov and others like him, Yordim legehenim, v'nidoinim bo ledorei doros. All of these aforementioned, starting from the Minim group that was mentioned before, all of these descend to purgatory and are subject to judgment there, to the pain, to the purging of purgatory for generations. This is in contrast to the group just before that experienced the purgatory for 12 months. These continue there. Shinemar, V'yotzu, V'ro, B'figre, Anoshim, Apoishim, B, V'chule. And we explain Gehenim Kola, that purgatory can finish, V'hein, Einon, Kolam, but they continue burning, so to speak. Shinemar, V'tsurom, L'valois, Sheol, that their image outlives Gehenim. Again, these are very, very difficult topics, but it's as if they even after Gehenim itself ceases to be, their bodies, so to speak, continue in everlasting flames. The chol kach loma. Why is this their lot? Mipnei sheposhtu yideyem bezvul. Because as a result of their sinning, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Mizvul lo. This is a Pasuk from, it was just quoted from Tehillim Perek Mem Tes, which said, Vitzuram levalo shol, Mizvul lo. The reason that their image, their bodies, so to speak, whatever that represents, continues to burn and burn for forever, it's because of Zvul. The Ein Zvul Elo Beis HaMikdash. The word Zvul is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, Bonoi Bonisi Beis Zvul Lach. This, of course, is regarding Shlomo Melech, who built the Beis HaMikdash, and you see the word Zvul in that context. Ve'aleim Omro Chano, and regarding them, Chana, we mentioned before she was a prophetess, she says, Hashem Yechatu Merivov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu smites down, he cuts out those that war against him. So, not to end on such a negative note, we just are hopeful for the ultimate resurrection of all the tzaddikim and the beinonim, and Mirtz Hashem, we should merit this speedily in our own time. Before we conclude, let's just read another three lines of Gemara and then conclude this year. Om Reb Yitzchak Bar Ovin, Ufneim Domin Lishule Kedera. Their faces look like the bottoms of pots. The bottoms of pots, of course, are subject to constant blackening in fire. V'yomar Rava v'inhu, and Rava, he comments that who are these people that the source just referred to? They are amongst Mishapiri Shapir b'nei Mechuza. They are from the finest families of Mechuza. This, of course, is a great deal of cynicism in this line. Rava, he happened to be the Rav of a town called Mechuza, and the people there gave Rava a lot of trouble. They were far from righteous. They were from the esteemed families, the honored families of that town, but their behavior was rotten, to say the least. Umikarion beginei Gehenim, and they're called the sons of Gehenim, of purgatory. As we said, the topics that we just discussed are quite deep, maybe pun kind of intended there, since we are talking about Gehenim and the depths and the bowels of that realm. We, in the context of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi, are not capable of elaborating on these matters. Nevertheless, one should be spirited enough to try to improve one's ways in light of everything we've learned in this shiur. Before we conclude, let us remind you, however, that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially regarding access to marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.